Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Prepare for Landing podcast. Since you're here, subscribe to the channel, check out some of the other videos. You can follow me in the description below at Flight Risk and Super Destroyer. But yeah, this was a cool one. I was joined and had an enjoyable conversation with none other than the Michael Bond, as well as Hans Allegood from the recently resurrected Woe Is Me. And we talked about past hardships kind of leading up to this point. To where they are now, and being in a band together again with new music and shows. But it was a lot of fun. So make sure you follow them, follow the band, and get ready for a lot more Woe Is Me. Enjoy the episode.
Wow, dude!
I don't know, man. Crazy, dude. Like,
I let you in my house?
What are we talking about? What?
This is the Prepare for Landing podcast with your host, Joshua Landon. Buckle up.
How we doing, boys?
Good. I just want to make sure we're lined up well.
Looking good so far. I like the guitars in the back.
Thank you. You know, that we had to get the aesthetic going.
Aesthetic.
Yeah, we love aesthetics.
Yes, sir.
So we everything look okay?
Everything looks good to me, man. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, looks great. Yeah, welcome, Michael Bond, and a surprise guest, last minute, Hans Allegood. Is it Allegood or Allegood?
Allegood.
Yeah, welcome, dude. Yeah, I'm excited. A lot of these questions were thought with Michael in mind, but you can definitely chime in on some. But I wanted to start not too much on, but because I know there's a lot of stuff going on with you guys at the moment currently, but touching on The Villa and even Young Mountain too. Like, these are both projects that you both have, but you are putting on hold for Woe Is Me.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. Some stuff went down with The Villa and like the, not to go into detail or anything or throw anybody under the bus, but we had a lot of, it was a rough time with, you know, the label and management and stuff with The Villa. We're, you know, no longer working with them, but, it is what it is. But, yeah, without throwing anybody under the bus, it was rough. And after that, you know, I kind of took a little bit of a break, and just kind of was like figuring out what I wanted to do and everything. And then, you know, by that time, you know, the Woe Is Me thing started happening. So when the Woe Is Me thing started happening, I was like, you know what, The Villa will always be there, but for now it's going to be put on hold, you know, to just focus on Woe Is Me. And I just, you know, we all have like regular jobs and everything now, and like we all grew up, I guess. So we all have like normal everyday jobs, and so between working our jobs and then you know, trying to do music on top of that, I just simply didn't have time to do The Villa, Woe Is Me, and work my day job. So
busy schedule. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what about Young Mountain, Hans?
Yeah, so Young Mountain is we're still kind of working on stuff just kind of as we can. As Michael said, it's really tough to balance multiple things at a time. Like me personally, like I do, we're doing Woe Is Me. I've got Young Mountain, and I'm also going to school full time.
Oh, nice.
So
what are you studying?
So I've been working in dentistry for like 7 years, and so taking the next step to become a dental hygienist. But yeah, it's we're, you know, just working on stuff when we can, because all of us in Young Mountain have jobs and careers outside of Young Mountain, and a couple of us have other projects too. So you know, just trying to find time to do everything.
Yeah, I feel that. And yeah, I know, Michael, especially you, I know about like how you went through a lot of loss of a band, you went through loss of loved ones, you went through some depression and financial problems with The Villa and everything, and even the music industry was a tough blow with you. How did you manage to handle your mental health in that time period? What did you do to help you out?
Honestly, I don't even know if it was me. It was more so just like my friends, like the people I surrounded myself with. They, if they didn't, you know, there was a specific day that if they didn't show up, then I'd, you know, like, not to sound dark or anything, but like, I might not be here.
Yeah.
In fact, Jason, the guitar player in Young Mountain, with Hans, love that dude to death. He's one of my best friends. He came over, showed up at my house when I absolutely needed, you know, him the most. And it was mainly the people that I was surrounded with that really kind of pulled me out of that depression, you know. Like, I mean, you know, like you said, you know, I, you know, with issues, that sort of thing happening, and going from that to, you know, two friends passing away right back to back from suicide, then my grandmother passing away, then the whole Wild Heart thing happening. I mean, I was spiraling. I was like, oh my God, like, why is life just completely kicking my ass right now? Like, what is happening? Like, so all that back to back, I was in a very, 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 very rough place. And it caused issues between myself and the relationship I was in at the time. Ended up, you know, we ended up splitting up, and like, she just, you know, and no disrespect or anything to her or anything, I'm not going to mention names or anything, but like, you know, she just couldn't, you know, handle it anymore. And I was in a terrible place, and, you know, I was not good. So she, we ended up, you know, splitting up, and it was probably for the best, because I needed to pull my head out of my ass and get it together. And, but when that happened, it really set in to like, when that happened, after that happened, I was like, okay, I got to get it together. Like, I can't just keep going down this route and just letting depression get the best of me. So, that day that we, you know, end up splitting up, you know, everything, just, she completely moved out and everything. And like, Jason showed up and he was like, here, I got you. Like, and he came over, and I was pretty distraught that day. And it's really my friends. I don't know if it was so much me as it was the people that I had in my life, like, being there for me. So
that's good. Yeah, that's really good. I know you guys went through a lot, but I was a fan. I've been a fan since day one for Woe Is Me. I've been a fan of Wild Heart, Young Mountain, The Villa. I've really enjoyed the music, but I'm very excited for the new stuff that you're about to embark on. It's very exciting. Like, I heard the clip that you guys posted yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
Sounds fucking phenomenal. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
I was wondering, you guys had a Villa Young Mountain collab, a couple songs, I think?
Yeah, we did. Yeah. I forgot about that. Wow.
Yeah, was there ever a conversation back then about revamping Woe Is Me?
No,
like, not
any, then. Any like, maybe in the future type of thing, or was honestly, it just completely off the table?
I think at that point, none of us were really thinking about that, because with someone, like, someone would bring it up just kind of like jokingly, and we'd be like, no way. Yeah. At that point, no, it wasn't even like a real possibility or thought, really.
Yeah, I didn't even cross my mind.
Oh, crazy. Did you ever have any feelings of wanting to quit music as you were going through all the hard times, just to give it up all together?
Oh yeah. After issues, like, I took like a year off and, kind of just figured out what I wanted to do, but I knew I wanted to keep doing music at that point. I just wanted to go in a completely different direction, and that's why I did the Wild Heart stuff. Cause that's kind of like what I had been listening to a lot lately, a lot of like stuff like that style. And I just wanted to do something outside of like metal. And I'm kind of missed playing drums. So I was like, you know what, I might take this opportunity to, you know, play drums and just do something like completely different outside of metal. And, after that happened, after that went its course, I was very like much like, okay, that's it. I'm out. I'm done. Like, music's just, the industry's just completely kicked my ass. So, I was like, I'm done. And then Kevin, and then, one of the other guys in Wild Heart, Turner, they pretty much were like, dude, I know you miss playing drums. Obviously the Wild Heart thing didn't happen and they pretty much were like, hey, look, like, you should do vocals again. Like, and they kind of just like pushed me to do it and like talked me into it. They were like, dude, you should just do vocals again. Just, I feel like that's what you're supposed to do. Like just be a front man. And so they kind of talked me into doing that. And that's how like the Villa happened. So I was like, all right, fine. Like, and I didn't really have high hopes with the Villa. I just kind of was like, you know what? I'll just do some vocals.
Get back and do it again. Type
of thing. Just do it again and just see what happens. Obviously we ended up getting signed, which is cool, but like, but yeah, like between Wild Heart and the Villa, I was ready to throw in the towel and mm-hmm. they just kind of like talked me into, you know, getting back and doing vocals again. So I was like, all right, whatever.
Yeah, because I know you had a lot of pressure on your shoulders when you were trying to expand your vocal ability with the Headspace album. That was like kind of the first time you started to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you just kept on working on that. But like at the time, it's just all the pressure you just couldn't really take anymore and decided to, I don't know, like when did you find that again to want to get back into singing? Because like, did that hit you from being kicked out? Like,
yeah, singing wasn't to par? I kind of want to do a, yeah, it was kind of just like, I was like, you know what? And in the meantime, I had been like practicing and everything. And like, and looking back, admittedly, like, I know I wasn't the best singer in Issues by any means, but by the time the Headspace album came out, I had only been singing for a few months.
Yeah.
You know, so like, and Tyler, on the other hand, you know, he had years on me. Mm. So, you know, like I didn't really have that time to develop. And like, I just felt so much pressure on me the entire time, that I just was almost like scared. And almost like, I just felt intimidated almost like the entire time. And I was just like, you know, if I'm not on Tyler's level, then like, I'm just like, you know, like, fuck me then, you know, like, so,
yeah.
Just having that comparison the entire time, I was just like, it was tough, you know? But I took that time after, you know, Issues, I took that time off. I definitely kept, even though I was playing drums and stuff with Wild Heart, you know, like, we had our singer, Teddy Swims or whatever, and he, you know, he was just the most phenomenal singer in the world. And, yeah, you know, I learned great. A lot. Yeah, I learned a lot from him. And so even though I was playing drums, I still was singing and stuff. Like, I was still practicing and I was, like, learning and everything. And, you know, so in all that time, I had that time to really, like, practice and do things on my terms and not feel that pressure.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, you know, so it was nice. So like, so with the Villa, I didn't want to just straight up do metalcore, like just heavy breakdown, like right after the other. Like, so I wanted the Villa to kind of like be a nice little balance. So I knew I wanted to sing and like, I wanted to kind of like, you know, prove to people that like, hey, like I've been practicing, you know?
Yeah, and I think you did that. Like, it definitely showed improvement that you worked hard on it and everything. And like, the Villa stuff sounded great.
I appreciate it.
I think there's a lot to be proud of there. The Issues self-titled was released 9 years ago yesterday.
Yeah.
How's that feel?
It was surreal. You know, so much time goes by. And even with the Woe's Me thing, like, you know, you just, so much time goes by and you don't really think, like, as time goes on, like, you're like, man, like, people probably forgot about this. Yeah. Like, people aren't into it anymore. Like, or like, they just, it's in the past. And then, you know, yes, obviously it happened with the Woe Is Me stuff. And like, I'll kind of let Hans touch on that in a mm-hmm. second. But like, for the Woe Is Me, or sorry, for the Issues thing yesterday, seeing the impact and like seeing, like, I was reading through some of the comments yesterday and my Instagram was just like blowing up. It was like message after message after message, like, you don't understand like what this album did to me, or like what this album did for me. Like I was like, you know, like, and one thing that was really cool is Peter Shreve. He was the guy that did the artwork for the album. He tweeted yesterday. And so if you don't know, a little cool like backstory on the album art. It's all the album art is so we sent out these letters. We got people's like mailing addresses and everything. And we're like, send us your address and we'll send you out a blank like letter, and we want you to write what you're struggling with at the moment on it, or like what Jeremy's phone's went off. Sorry. So we've sent out these blank cards and just let people write what they were struggling with at the time, what they were going through, any sort of issues that they were having. And then they sent them all back to us and we just put them all in a pile. And then that was the album art. And you can actually go in and like read some of those on the actual, if you zoom in, you can read all these, and everything. And like, I just remember like reading through those and I was just like, dang, it's crazy. Like everybody's like kind of going through a lot of the same things. Like you're just not alone.
Yeah.
Sorry for the tangent, but like, just reading through some of the comments, you just don't think that, like, you just kind of forget the impact you had. Like, and it was just cool to see like people going like, yo, this album, like, you know, just album just like changed my life. It did so much for me. And I'm just like, man, I figured y'all forgot, you know, like, you know, one comment that stood out, and like, this might be the best comment I've ever seen compliment I've ever seen in my entire life. And I actually like took me by surprise. And actually, you know, it's funny. I texted Sky yesterday, a screenshot of the comment. And I was like, dude, seeing stuff like this is very surreal. And he was like, oh dude, I got to go read through those. But I texted Sky yesterday, this comment, and it says, this is the best album since Hybrid Theory.
Holy
and
shit.
I was like, that is a compliment right there. I'll take that. It's very humbling. It's very humbling. And seeing stuff like that, I was like, wow, for someone to actually think that,
that's awesome.
I don't know. Like, it's just, you just forget. Like, and same with the, I'll let Hans touch on the what was me thing. Cause like, I just feel like we just kind of didn't realize what the impact you have on people. And like, I don't know, like, I don't know if that was like the same for you with the what was me thing. And
like, yeah, I mean, yeah, definitely. You know, What Was Me broke up in 2013, which is crazy. You know, now it's been, you know, officially 10 years ago. But
yeah.
Just when we had basically started to kind of like tease everybody that, you know, something was happening with What Was Me, you know, back in the middle of last year. Just the sheer amount of comments from people that were just coming out of nowhere saying like, I can't believe this is happening. Like, if this is happening, you know, you guys records, you know, changed the perception of my life at the time. And, you know, dude, people have like tattoos of lyrics that we've written, and you know, the bracket S symbol, which was a huge thing for us back then. Like, just to see that 10 years later, people are still just as stoked as they were then, you know. And like you said, you think like, oh man, I didn't think anyone would be still talking about that, or, you know, still care about that. And just to see that again 10 years later, it is humbling. I mean, I don't really know how else to describe it. It's just kind of surreal, to be honest.
Seeing the impact and everything,
and the amount of like gratitude that makes you feel is just man, it's insurmountable, dude. Like, it's when we got on stage for the first time after 10 years back in Dallas and then again in Atlanta, it just, all I could feel the whole time was just adrenaline and gratefulness, man. Like, there's not really any other way to describe it than that.
It was cool looking, over, hearing people sing those songs back after so long and still knowing the lyrics and everything. And number two, in Atlanta specifically, like, the crowd was just so loud. Like, they were louder than like us and everything. And I was like, oh my God. And then looking over, I took a moment and just like just kind of froze time in a sense. And then like, I looked over and just saw all of our family and friends and our girlfriends, you know, watching us on the side. And I got teary eyed, you know, like, I was like, wow, like, this is so cool, man. Like to hear how loud the crowd is and then look over and see all your loved ones. Like, we had like 30 or 40 people on the side of the stage, like watch all of our, you know, like I said, family members, sibling, like friends, girlfriends, like all watching us and supporting us. And that was like, that was, I just stopped and just kind of did a pan. And like, it was just the most, like, it was just such a cool feeling and just very, very, very grateful.
Yeah.
You know,
super emotional in the best way.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
Just, you can't, it's just one of those things that I feel like it's a feeling you get like maybe once or twice in your whole life. So cool.
The other time was when I tried Trix for the first time. Cereal.
Trix cereal?
Yeah. Oh,
I thought you just meant Trix on a skateboard. I wasn't sure where you were going with that one.
The only other time I felt like that was when I ate my first bowl of Trix.
Oh, I feel that. I got you. Yeah. I'm an O's guy. Do you know that one?
The O's?
O's?
Like O's. The big...
They're like circle O's with like granola or some sort of in the center.
Oh, I don't know.
I remember Oreo O's.
No.
Not those different. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I'll send you a picture. Okay. You gotta find some. But that was that first show back. That was Monster Mosh, right?
It was.
Okay, so Monster Mosh, October 29th, I believe. Right before you go on stage, you're waiting to go on. The intro is playing. What's running through your minds?
Try not to throw up.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I hope we don't butcher this. Like, I hope, or like, I hope we, like, for me, I guess, I was like, I hope I remember all these lyrics.
Yeah. Did you feel prepared by those points? Because you had some rehearsals and everything.
Yeah. I would say I felt 80% probably.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just feel like we could have practiced for another like 3 weeks and I still would have probably been like, oh God, you know?
Yeah.
But I felt like 80%, you know?
That's good.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely. I don't know. 80. Yeah. 80% is good.
Yeah. And how
definitely not 100% like confident at the time.
Oh, yeah. It's the first show back. I can only imagine, you know,
God.
I was like, I hope I don't throw my back out.
Well, that's another question. How did you feel like a couple songs in? Are you like neck is sore,
well,
hurt feet?
Go ahead and tell them.
I'm not even going to lie, dude. Probably 30 or 45 seconds into the first song, I was winded.
Oh my
straight
God.
Up.
Well, tell them about the Atlanta show, your shoulder.
Oh yeah. I'm not sure exactly what I did because I think in the moment there was just some adrenaline and whatever, but I woke up the day after the Atlanta show. And before I could even sit up in bed, I was like, something's up. Dude, I tore something in my shoulder. Like, in my shoulder.
And nowadays, you can probably just take a big, deep breath in and pop something. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. I'm not going to lie.
We don't move like we used to.
No. And once that healed up, it just actually started feeling better recently after some, you know, like at-home exercises and stuff.
That's good.
I was like, my first priority is to get back into the gym. Because like, there's no way we're going into these big festivals we're playing later in the year. And I'm going to do something like that again. No.
Yeah. Hopefully you guys stay healthy and stay active and you don't pull your back out just from stepping onto the stage.
Yeah.
How is the new stuff? I know you guys are doing only two songs at the moment. And you're recording weekend.
Yeah. There's more to come, but for now we're focusing. We just want to knock out two singles at the moment. You know, like we don't want to dive into a full EP right now. We just want to get some stuff out just like as quickly as possible, not rush it by any means, but you know, we want to get like a couple singles just to hold people over. And that way we can have some new material to play at some of these festivals coming up, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So the songs are done, but we just, Hans and I are knocking out vocals. So.
Yeah, they're sounding good from the clip that you posted. How is it going to sound? Is there going to be anything different that it might sound like, or are you singing still more? I know you tweeted like a while back that it's going to be all choruses this time or something like that.
Yeah, straight chorus.
It's just chorus.
We went from no chorus to all chorus.
All choruses.
Yeah, you know. The two new songs, I will say, I don't want to give too much away, but the two new songs are very different. They're very different. It's one of those things I feel like we've talked about it as a band too. Like, even though the songs sound different, when you put our vocals on it, it's going to make it kind of like, woe is me, you know, if that makes sense. So even though the song we have, so with the songs, one of them is a lot heavier. One of them is pretty heavy, and the other one's a little lighter. So we're just, you know, we feel like coming out with like a really heavy one just to, you know, hold people's attention and be like, hey, look, we're still going to be heavy. Like, we're going to have the hard hitting stuff. But we wanted to do like a little bit of a lighter one. When I say lighter, it's not like poppy by any means. It's just like more of the, it's like, it's more along the lines of like, I guess I would compare it to like maybe like Dayseeker or something like that. So
yeah,
kind of sound, but we still have, yeah, we still want people to know like, hey, we're going to bring the heavy too. So
yeah, I feel like you definitely have to do that. Otherwise you piss a lot of people off, unfortunately, but
yeah. You know, yeah. And I think we might put out, I don't know yet. We haven't really talked much about it, but I think we might just go ahead and put out the heavy one first, just to like, be like, hey, look, we're not trying to piss anybody off. Like, we're still heavy, so
yeah. And having said that too, like, you know, besides our vocals, obviously, like, there are some little elements of you know, old Woe Is Me in there, but I would say it's definitely different in a lot of ways, but not in ways I think that people would be upset by. I think yeah. People are going to hear it and be like, okay, yeah, this is, you know, sweet. Hopefully glad that they're back.
Yeah. I mean, I know a lot of us are excited. I'm excited to hear it. Like, yeah, it's going to be fun. I know you got some tours coming up, and you have Incarceration in July, Blue Ridge in September. Will mm-hmm. these new songs be played on those?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the goal.
That's the goal.
Sure. Yeah. That's the goal. So yeah, we have some more stuff that's not announced yet. That, you know, more shows and in different places that are not announced yet, but they will be announced very soon. So.
Cool. How does it feel to be singing all of these old songs again? Is there any emotions that like you remember and you're like, oh shit, you're like, oh, and.
Yeah, it took me back. Actually, when we first started rehearsing, I was like, man, I remember where I was when I wrote this, you know, or like, I remember what we were doing after we finished this song. And it was just, it was cool. Like, to bring back all those memories and everything. And like, it was neat. Cause I just remembering like remembering how different my life was then as opposed to now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was just like, man, like, that's crazy. Like because we were right out of high school. Like, we were just right out of high school. You know, Kevin was still in high school. He actually dropped out of high school, got his GED, and he was doing homework in the studio while we were writing numbers. So and Tyler as well. Like, Tyler had just graduated. So we were all like right out of high school, like very young, and like, you know, like, and it was just cool, like, to just think, like, it's weird. It's pretty another thing that's surreal for me. I'm like, how did we write this at like 19 years old? Like, what, like, how do we come up with this shit at like 19, 20 years old? You know, like, I'm like, where did we pull this from? Like, like, you know, and then writing today, I'm like, you know, like, you don't do it for a while, and I'm like, you're like struggling, like, you get writer's block, and I'm like, how do we write this stuff like right out of high school? And now I'm like, I got writer's block, and I'm like, shit, I can't come up with anything right now. Like,
yeah,
it's funny.
Yeah, the creativity and that aspect is always there, but there are times, I think, as we've gotten older, that and especially because we're not doing just this all the time like we were back then.
Yeah.
It comes in bursts, and when it does, like, you have to go with it. And I think it's taken me a lot of time to sit and realize, like, you can't force it. Not to say we were forcing it back then, but that's all we were doing back then.
Yeah, it just kind of flowed easily through a little bit more.
Yeah. And so,
You know, it comes in waves, you know, and then I close my eyes.
You know, do you hold your breath?
And let it bury me.
Yeah.
Are those new lyrics from new stuff?
No, it was Bring Me.
How about you, Vance? Like you feel from like doing the old songs again, like you feel anything coming up for you that you remember or?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I think probably the biggest I guess nostalgic bit for me was the first time we ran through Vengeance. I love every song from Numbers. I was a huge fan of that record when it came out. But for me, I think, cause basically when Vengeance was released, like that song changed my life 100%, you know, suddenly I'm thrust into this, like, oh, we're going on tour in 2 weeks. And then we stayed on tour for the next year and a half, pretty much. And then of course, you know, we play some of the songs from Genesis and everything, but I think when it hit me the most is actually once we got on stage to hear people, like Michael was saying, singing the songs back to us, like hearing people sing those lyrics out loud. That's, I think, when it hit me the most. And I can remember, like, oh man, like, you know, remember that one time we played this venue and New York City, or, you know, LA, or, you know, any of those big places we played on tour. I think when it really hit me was hearing people sing the songs back, and I was like, okay, that's wild.
Awesome, man. I think we're going to get into my random thoughts that I always come across and think of. Do you guys have any, or have you ever thought about a retirement hobby? What would you do when you're an old man? Done with music.
Sit on my porch and cuss at little kids.
That's it.
Tell them to get off my lawn. Maybe whittle some wood.
Yeah.
See, that's what I would do. Like, I'm a big fan of like finding pieces of wood. Well, I watch videos all the time of people doing wood turning. They'll put it in like a manual lathe and they'll scold it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Big fan.
Get a wood shop going.
Hell yeah.
I don't know. My papa, my dad's dad, he retired and they built a house on a golf course. And so that's what he did a lot. And my dad used to play a lot. So I'm like, maybe I'll just play some golf.
Rip a cigar.
Hell yeah.
Oh, sounds the nice. Fattest cigar.
Yeah. Rip a cigar and play golf.
Yeah, that's the life right, you know, there.
Also, really, really, really like cats. So I'd probably just like figure out a way to like rescue cats and you know, have 10 or 12 of my own.
Just have a cat sanctuary. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Do you guys have other escapes outside of music, and what are they, if so?
I like outdoors a lot. I like the outdoors. I like exploring and stuff, like mountain, like
hiking and
stuff. And like, yeah, hiking and stuff. And also another one is like video games for me. I played video games pretty religiously, but not like in like a competitive way. I'm not one of those guys that are like very competitive about it. I don't have like some like PC setup or anything like that. I just enjoy playing video games, you know. But yeah.
Outdoors for sure. I actually really like to fish. I like to go fishing.
You should build a house on a lake or something.
I'll get right on that.
Or as golf, soon as golf I course hit lake. Lotto,
no, that would honestly be sick.
Yeah.
I think the most like relaxing place that I've gone fishing like within the last couple of years is my parents have a creek that runs through their property, and the fish in there are tiny. I mean, it's not like we're not talking about like giant fish, but and we just catch them and throw them back. But it's just, I don't know, it's relaxing because the breeze is blowing and you know, the sound of the water rushing down the creek, man. That's good stuff.
Nice. Yeah. Speaking of video games, have you ever played Detroit Become Human?
No. Mm-hmm. I don't think I have.
I recommend trying it out.
Okay.
All right. Would you call The Last Jedi your worst movie ever?
Oh, it's definitely on the list.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure. It's pretty bad.
I don't know. That's tough.
I've seen a lot of crappy movies, but
yeah. I don't know. I thought that God, I'm gonna sound very unknowledgeable. And I actually really do like Star Wars. The Last Jedi was the last one, right?
I believe so.
The one before that one. Not Force Awakens.
Rise of Skywalker.
That one to me was that the Rise of Skywalker was worse to me than The Last Jedi. I don't know.
Which one had Leia flying through the space?
That one. That's the one. And Rise of Skywalker? I almost got it. When that, and in fact, it's funny you bring that up because when that happened, I almost got up and walked out.
It's so bad. Got up and walked out.
I was like, this is atrocious.
You ever seen Jason X?
When they had, and then the other part, when they had Luke Skywalker, he brushed his shoulders off after he got shot 400,000 times, his hologram.
Yeah.
When he did that, I was like, when has Luke Skywalker ever brushed his shoulders off? Like, oh, I hate it. Hated it. It was so cringe. But yeah, when Princess Leia started flying through the air, I was like, how did this happen?
Pretty bad.
Yeah. On the other hand, Mando, Obi-Wan, and Book of Boba Fett.
So good.
Bro. Next level. They should have just not. Oh man.
I actually did like Force Awakens. I was like, okay, this can really go somewhere. Yeah. I was like, okay. Like they came out like Force Awakens. I was like, all right, I like it. Like this could be cool. The one after that or whatever, the Rise of Skywalker, I was like, y'all butchered this shit. I was like, well,
Soiled it.
Wait, that's it. You destroyed it. So
yeah.
Yeah, I kinda wish they would have in Force Awakens had Kylo Ren's helmet on the entire time.
Yeah.
Once he took it off, it kinda ruined it a little bit for me, but
yeah.
I got over it. But that flying Princess Leia, have you ever seen Jason X when he's in space killing people? There's a similar moment where Jason's flying back at the spaceship towards the people again. It reminds me just like that. Really bad.
God.
Hans, I don't know if you're a picky eater, but I know Michael is.
I'm not a picky eater. I would say I'm probably pretty much the opposite of a picky eater.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There's very few things that I will not try.
Okay.
And my girlfriend is actually a picky eater. Like,
do you have to like kind of get her to like push her to try some new stuff a little bit more?
No, man, no. It's one of those things that's like, you know, if somebody doesn't like something or they don't want to try something, don't force it.
Yeah.
You know, if you like what you like and you know what you like, that's fine.
Kind of like when Michael was in Japan and only tried to find Outback steakhouses.
I did. I still to this day I know exactly where they are. Like every time.
When went to Japan, it was after Michael and Ben and Corey had left the band, but same situation. We found out there was an Outback.
Yeah.
And we were only there for like maybe 2 days for what we did, and we went there twice within those 2 days. And other than that, I don't think I really ate anything in Japan except Outback Steakhouse.
We had a couple friends. Do you know Ayan Saki? Did you ever meet Ayan Saki? They helped us out. They showed us around, and then, like, we were friends with 1OK Rock too, and they kind of helped us out too, Taka and everything. Like, he like showed us around, and like he kind of like showed us a good time and everything. Like, showed us some good spots to eat and everything. But yeah, I learned where the Outbacks were the first time. So the second time we went there, I was like, I already know where these are. So we load into the venue, do sound check, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to the Outback. And I knew exactly which Outback was closest to the venue. And then the third time we went there, I was like, yep, already got this down. Already know where all these Outbacks are. So
amazing. Amazing.
I'm not, you know, I'm a little ashamed of that, but it is what it is.
Have you come around to seafood?
I haven't.
No, still no.
Can't do seafood. I just, man, that's what, seafood what about, and mayonnaise.
Oh, what about canned tuna?
Oh God, no.
No, because I got something. I got something you should probably try. I get like canned tuna. You know, you drain it out, and then you put it in a bowl with honey mustard, hickory barbecue sauce, sweet baby Ray's hickory barbecue sauce.
And I do like sweet baby Ray's.
Some dried cranberries. Mix it all up. Use some like crackers as a dip. Try it.
Are you trying that?
Oh, I'll definitely try that.
Yeah. You guys have any weird food combos or anything?
My go-to. So I don't know how censored you are or anything like that. All right. So my go-to high snack is I get a tub of animal crackers, like the big ones from Costco. Or Sam's Club, I get the big tub of animal crackers and I get marshmallow fluff.
Ooh.
And I'll just get really high and just like eat them. I'll just eat the animal crackers and dip them in marshmallow fluff.
That's too much marshmallow. Oh my gosh.
It's so good.
That sounds good.
That's my like go-to. I don't know where I got that. I just tried it one day and I was like, you know what? That sounds animal crackers and marshmallow fluff sounds kind of good. So I got them and I was just like, oh yeah. And by, you know, 20 minutes later, I've eaten like 100 animal crackers.
Very nice. What about you, Ant? Anything?
I don't know if I have any weird food combos because I'm trying to think. Like,
well, you are up for trying just about anything. What's the weirdest thing you may have tried?
Weirdest thing that I may have tried.
Did you ever try anything when you went over any countries or anything?
Yeah.
You ever eat a scorpion?
I've never eaten a scorpion. I've eaten rattlesnake before.
Ooh.
Very, very bony.
Very bony.
Yeah. Lots of bones.
Can you not take bones out?
I mean, I'm sure you could. Yeah. It was so long ago that I don't really remember, but I'm trying to think. Like, I've tried some weird stuff for sure. Not that it's super weird or controversial, but a lot of people don't like Vegemite.
I've never had it.
It's a spread from Australia.
Mm-hmm.
You put it on toast. I think so. My friends from like Australia tell me that I take it too far. Like apparently you're only supposed to use like a little bit. And I'm like, nah, dude, balls to the wall all the way. It's so good.
You just make sandwiches.
And so, but yeah, I was talking to the guys in Hands Like Houses, like one of the first times they introduced me to it. And I was like, where can I get more of this? And they were like, the amount that I was like eating, they were like, dude, you're gross.
We don't even like it that much.
Yeah.
I want to throw up. Michael, you said you're a fan of cheesecake. I believe I remember that.
Oh yeah.
Have you had the Cheesecake Factory's Cinnabon cheesecake?
Oh my god, I didn't even know they had that.
Oh well, now you do. I recommend. Very good.
Oh my god, I gotta try it because I love Cinnabon stuff. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that sounds incredible. I need to try that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to go.
It's worth it. Yeah.
Me and my girlfriend are gonna have to go on a Cheesecake Factory date.
Yeah. To be honest, I've never met a cheesecake I didn't like.
It's so good. Cheesecake's incredible.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I got a couple more and then we'll wrap it up. Any bands you guys didn't like at first and then kind of came around to? Because I know for me, I know when I first heard Devil Wears Prada Plagues, I heard Hey John and I thought it was absolute trash. I'm going to be honest. I thought it was absolute trash. I thought like, Mike's vocal ability was insane to me because it was so fucking high, so fucking low, and I was just like, what is this? But then I gave it another listen eventually on. I was like, this is amazing. I don't know what I ever was thinking before.
Yeah, there's definitely been bands like that for me that I was like, at first I was like god, what the hell is this, you know? And then I hear it and then I catch myself like, okay, I kind of like this. And like, it'll just grow on me. But I don't know, do you have any off the top of your head?
I'm sure there's been a few.
I know there has been. I don't know. One is Dance Gavin Dance. The first time I heard Dance Gavin Dance, I was like, I don't get it. I was like, I just don't get it. Like, why? Why is this a thing? And then they grew on me. And then when, you know, despite the controversy with Tillian now, but like, we won't touch on that. But like when I heard Tillian in the band, that's when I was like, okay, you got my attention.
Yeah.
I think the stuff that he's written, and just, he just took the band from here to here. And, I think when he came in, and just some of the catchiest melodies, like, and I was just like, wow. Okay. But yeah, not to say like Johnny wasn't great or anything. I never got into like the Kurt Travis era. Nothing against him or anything. I just never really, it wasn't my thing, but yeah. I just like Tillian, man. He just like took it from here to here and just like, I was like, okay, wow, there we go. There it is. You know?
Yeah.
This is actually kind of crazy because throughout most of my teenage and like early adult life, pretty much my favorite band. But the first time that I listened to Under Oath, the Changing of Times record, I was just like, I don't really get it. But yeah. all my friends were like, no, you don't get it. And I didn't. I was like, you're right. I don't get it. I don't.
Yeah.
They're Only Chasing Safety came out. And I was like, that's it. That I love this band with my entire soul. But I got to tell you, at first, I was even apprehensive to listen to it because I didn't get it. But man.
Yeah, I felt like Dallas was a particular taste for some people.
And yeah.
It didn't mesh well because I know I was like that too. And then even when They're Only Chasing Safety came out, I would see like the music videos and hear the songs for like Reinventing Your Exit because Under Oath is my favorite band. But it wasn't until Defying the Great Line to where it caught me. And I like went back to their Only Chasing Safety. I was like, what the, why wasn't I listening to this before? I don't understand. But what kind of artists or bands and even shows and movies, like what are you guys listening to? What are you watching that maybe some people would like to check out? Some other bands, artists, movies, shows, anything.
Hardy. Yeah.
Hardy is sick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've been jamming his new album a lot. Hardy, he's just doing something really cool. I mean, we both grew up in Georgia, so we're like Southern boys at heart, you know? So we grew up on country and everything, but it's just cool. And we obviously love rock music. So it's just cool to see him blending it and doing it well. And he's just doing something really cool. Like if you love country, if you love, and I'm not talking about like the corny country, like, I don't care. Like, I'm not talking about the Luke Bryan, Corn Makes Whiskey or Corn Makes whatever that dumbass song is. I do not care. Like Luke Bryan, God damn it. Like, I can't do it. I cannot do it. But I'm not talking about that kind of country. If you like good, like tasteful country, and then you like metal or rock, like Hardy, he's awesome. And then I've been listening to the couple of new Plot and You songs are really good.
Oh yeah.
The new Plot and You songs are really good. I like those. Been jamming those.
Yeah. Those are sick. Probably not alone in this, but I've been jamming like the Dayseeker album.
Very good.
Almost every day.
Mm-hmm.
Probably every day. At least one or two songs. Cause I kind of just like when I find a song that I like or an album I like on, I use Spotify. I'll, you know,
use Pandora. I'm just kidding. So I use the Pandora unpaid.
The ads and the commercials?
All commercials.
It's mostly ads.
I'll get a song every 10 minutes. Sorry.
Let's see. But yeah, I really like that record. I'm trying to think, like, recently.
Sleep Token, obviously.
Yeah, we can't forget about that.
Sleep Token.
I can't believe that wasn't like the first thing.
Yeah, Sleep Token a lot. Their their new shit is just good. It's on another level. Yeah. It's untouchable.
I was driving back. I was driving back on like a 5-hour trip from my girlfriend's house, and Michael texted me. He's like, "Have you listened to the new Sleep Token?" I was like, "No," and I did, and I texted it back, and I was like, "What in the hell is this? How did they do this?" And
and then you listen to it like 10 more times on repeat.
For sure, yeah. The whole rest of the way home.
They're on another level. They're on another level. Their musicianship and their writing, like their songs are, it's just so beautifully put together. It's just absolutely beautifully put together.
I agree.
Yeah, definitely, man. Well, shoot, guys, I really appreciate you both talking to me. If I could end it on one last thing, I know I'm excited. You guys seem excited. Everyone else seems excited about Woe's Me being back. Got more shows, new music. It's really fun. What are kind of the goals, or what are you striving for? Do you have a message with this new stuff that you kind of want to get out, or anything to say to the fans that are looking forward to it?
Thank you for sticking around. Yeah. Like it's like I know we touched base on it earlier, but like, I cannot thank you enough. I read through some of these comments. It's like a lot of people don't think that we like bands or anybody like read through comments, or like we see that shit, you know, like we do, like a lot of bands do. And it's just, it's cool to, I just can't, there's no way for me to like properly thank people, for sticking around and everything. And, we hope that these new songs, first and foremost, we hope that you enjoy them. And second of all, we hope that like you can, they can kind of like take you back to like a time in your life that like you were fond of, you know, like that you remember, and like just kind of like take you back, and just maybe it's a memory. I don't know what it is, you know, but like, you know, we hope that you enjoy them. And then we hope to see you at shows. You know, we want to, this time for me, I'm not trying to go off on a tangent, but like this time for me, I want to do things right. And we want to do things right. We've made a lot of mistakes in the past. A lot of things that, you know, we may have fucked up on, or like didn't get right, or like we could have done better. And this time around, like we realized those mistakes, and we realized like how we could have done things differently. And we want to get it right this time. And we have the chance to get it right. And we have the chance to just like to you know, to not take things maybe like for granted, you know, because that's one thing I can admit. Like I feel like I look back and I'm like, man, I may have took some things for granted. Like I didn't realize in the moment like what I had, or like what I was able to do in the moment. But like this time around, I'm gonna make sure like I thank everybody I can, and just like make sure that they know that like any sort of fan knows that they are appreciated, and that I'm gonna soak everything in this time, and I'm gonna really make sure I don't take things for granted. So
absolutely, I don't think I could have said it any better. You know, it's just one of those things where, you know, I think my message to, you know, anybody listening still, you know, wherever you're at, a little bit of that Southern slang slipping in. Whatever good things are happening for you, wherever you're at in life, cherish it. You know what I mean? Because there is no guarantee on tomorrow. Like, do not take anything you have going for you for granted. Don't. And just, I mean, enjoy your life, man. And as far as like Michael was saying, like, we are just eternally grateful and thankful to have people that still have our backs after all this time. And the appreciation, I think, as we're older,
is you realize it more.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, man. That's beautiful. We're all excited for the new stuff. I hope you guys have a great fucking day of recording, And
thanks, man.
Hell yeah, looking forward to the new stuff. I'll hang around. We'll say bye to each other. But Prepare for Landing Podcast. Thanks for watching. Michael and Hans, thank you.
Absolutely.
Peace.